Welcome to Tairat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rifka Simonson, and today we will be studying Yehoshua Perek Tes, Chapter 9. When all the kings on the western side of the Yarden hear about what Yehoshua and the Bnei Yisrael have done to Yericho and Ai, they decide to unite, says Ralbag, to protect themselves, so that they won't be conquered by the Bnei Yisrael, like the cities of Yericho and Ai were, one at a time. They gather together to wage war against Yehoshua and the Bnei Yisrael. Only six of the seven nations are mentioned here in this collective effort. The Girgashi is missing because they chose to flee the land when the Bnei Yisrael warned they would be moving in. But the Givonim, the inhabitants of Givon, separate off from their Chivite brothers and decide to make peace with the Bnei Yisrael. Their approach to the Bnei Yisrael for peace, however, is ba'arma, cunningly, with trickery, choosing not to reveal their true identity as inhabitants of Canaan and instead disguise themselves. They take worn-out sacks for their donkeys, which Rashi explains is to make themselves appear as if they have come from a faraway land. They wear worn-out clothes and shoes, and they bring dry, moldy bread with them. They come to Yehoshua in the camp of Gilgal and say to him and the Bnei Yisrael, as we see in verse 6, Me Eretz Rechaika Bonu. We have come from a faraway land. Va'ata kirsu lanu vris. And now make a covenant with us. People from Bnei Yisrael respond, Ulai bekir bi'ata yashiv. Perhaps you dwell in my midst. Meaning, perhaps you are inhabitants of the land of Canaan, as Mitzudas David clarifies. Ve'eichech ros lechavris. And how can I make a covenant with you? Radak references the commandment in Devarim, chapter 7, Lei sichrois lahem bris. You shall not make a covenant with them. If the Bnei Yisrael know that these visitors are from the land of Canaan, they are forbidden to make a covenant with them. In the book of Devarim chapter 20, there is a mitzvah, a commandment, that if you're going to attack a city, first you should offer them the chance of peace with you. If they choose peace, then they can remain in Eretz Yisrael. But the conditions are that they have to keep the seven Noahide laws, uproot their idol worship, pay taxes and be subservient to the Bnei Yisrael. If these travellers are from Canaan, then peace is an option if they commit to the stipulations. But this covenant being proposed is just to have peace with them, which is against Torah law. If people from the seven nations are not agreeable to the terms, then the mitzvah is to destroy them and not leave a soul remaining. When entering the land, Yehoshua sent letters to the inhabitants offering them three options: peace, war, or evacuate. Radak quotes the Medrash that the Kana'ani chose to leave and go to Africa, and that there are those that say the Prizi left. We mentioned the Girgashi earlier also. If that is the case, then why, when the Givonim want to make peace, don't they just say they want to make peace as offered to them? Why the need for deception? Continues Radak, the Givonim thought, as Yehoshua had sent the offer in general to all of them, then did they not also send an offer of peace to Yericho and to Ai? But they struck them. Perhaps they won't keep their promise to the inhabitants of this land, but they just send an offer of peace with deceit, so that the inhabitants don't protect themselves. Therefore, the Givonim acted with cunning and said they were from a faraway land in order that they would make a covenant with them to protect themselves. The Mincha Katana draws on the wording in verse 3 that precedes the description of their strategy to highlight their choice of tactic. It tells us that the Givonim heard what Yehoshua had done to Yericho and to Ai, and then the text tells us, verse 4, and they also acted with ruse, with trickery. They had heard that no soul remained in the defeat on Jericho and Ai, and they knew that there is hope for someone who comes from a different land. This informed their strategy, and specifically, the mention of these two cities in conjunction with their action, Ba'arma, with cunning, points to the idea that they heard what Yehoshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, that with both cities the Bnei Yisrael acted with deception. With Jericho, they sent spies Cheresh secretly. The story we learnt in chapter 2 of the Shnayim Anashim Meraglim. Two men, spies, the spies Yehoshua sent to scout out Jericho in the land who came to the house of Rachav. Cheresh secretly could be read as Cheres, pottery, that they went disguised as sellers of pottery. In the defeat on Ai, the Bnei Yisrael used a strategy of deceit because, as we learnt in chapter 8, they pretended to be beaten and ran away, and so the people of Ai chased them. And this is how they conquered the city. This is why the Givonim acted with deceit and pretended to be people from another place. This is the meaning of the words in the verses saying, they heard what Yehoshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, Vayasu gam hema ba'arma, and they also acted with cunning. So, after Bnei Yisrael has questioned the origin of these supposed travelers, the Givonim address Yehoshua, saying in verse 8, Avodecha anachnu, we are your servants. To which Yehoshua replies, Mi atem, ume ayin tavoyu, who are you and where do you come from? Verse 9, Me'eretz rechayka ma'oid ba'u avodecha. From a very distant land have your servants come. Leshem Hashem Eleikecha, because of the name of Hashem your God. Ki shomanu, shom'oi ve'eskol asher asa b'mitzrayim. For we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt. Verse 10, ve'eskol asher asa lishnei malchei ha'emayri, asher be'ever ha'yerdein. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Yarden, Lesichain Melech Cheshbon, Ulaig Melech Habashan, Asher Ba'ashtarois, to Sichain, king of Cheshbon, and to Oig, king of Bashan, who was in Ashtarot. Notice they haven't mentioned the recent miracles of the Yarden. This would be a giveaway. They explain that they are coming as representatives of their people in wanting to come to serve the Bnei Yisrael and make a covenant with them. Matsudas David interprets that they are offering to pay taxes and want an agreement of protection. The Malbim notes that they try to bring proof of their distant destination of origin by pointing out here as they speak to Yehoshua that the bread they have with them was hot when they left their houses and now it is dry and moldy. They reference their tattered clothing and the wineskins that are split, which had been new at the start of their journey. Verse 14, Vayikchu ha'anashim mitzedom, and the men took of their provision, meaning the Bnei Yisrael accepted their words, says Rashi. They, the Givonim, captured them with their mouths, mitzedom, meaning from their capturing, hunting. Malbim teaches, they took from their provision, meaning they accepted the dry bread as proof and believed them. Ve'espi Hashem loy sha'alu, and they did not ask counsel of the mouth of Hashem. Continuing in Malbim, even though they could have consulted the Urim V'Tumim, they didn't ask Hashem's advice. Vaya'as lehem Yehoshua shalom, Vayichrois lahem baris lachayoisom, Vayishavu lahem nesiei ha'edo. And Yehoshua made peace with them, and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swore to them an oath, a serious commitment. They were tricked. 3 days later, the Bnei Yisrael discovers that these travelers are actually their neighbors. They don't kill them because the princes had sworn to them by Hashem. Vayilonu chol ha'eda al ha'nesiim, and all the congregation complained against the princes. The princes speak to the congregation and say that they have sworn by Hashem, and so they may not touch them, and they will let them live. And they make them water drawers and wood choppers for the Bnei Yisrael. Yehoshua then calls to the Givonim and asks, verse 22, Lama remisa my sonu, lemar rechaykim anachnu mikem ma'oid, va'atem bakirbenu yoshvim. Why have you deceived us, saying we are very far from you, when you dwell among us? Why did you trick us into thinking you were people from a distant place, when you are inhabitants of the land? He then curses them that they will remain as slaves, water drawers, and wood choppers. The Givonim answer that they had acted in this way because they had heard that Hashem commanded his servant Moshe to give Bnei Israel all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land, and they were very afraid for their lives because of them. And they say in verse 25, Katoiv v'chayoshar be'enecha la'asois lanu aseh. As it seems good and right to you to do to us, do. The Bnei Israel don't kill the Givonim, and they remain as water drawers and wood choppers. Yehoshua had made peace with the Givonim and made a covenant with them to keep them alive. The princes had made an oath. Ralbag explains that even though the oath had been founded on an error, because it was made under false claim, trickery, they still didn't retract their promise, because that would be a desecration of the name of Hashem. The other nations would think that there was no Yiras Hashem, fear or awe of Hashem, amongst the Bnei Israel. Perhaps in our own lives, when we don't have the Urim V'Tumim at hand, overt, divinely communicated answers, we can still practice consulting a higher system before we act. Torah. The world around us carries a lot that is confusing and tempting, and the fast pace of life makes it even more difficult to make considered choices. But Hashem has granted us the beautiful gift of his Torah to guide us and others who can help us to access truth based on Torah when our own minds are foggy. May we merit to strengthen ourselves to follow the path of Torah and make Hashem our compass, have clarity when making decisions, and appreciate the tools available to us to stay true to the road of spirituality in a world where deception is sometimes difficult to detect. Thank you for studying together. Lilui Nishmas Frida Bas Moshe Eliyahu.